Well, this morning, Peter Barnett started his sermon by saying it's not the passage he would have chosen, and this is not necessarily a passage I would have chosen, but having said that, the first verse, and I'm going to repeat it again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. That verse has special meaning to me. It's certainly marked up in my Bible because it was given to my first husband, Peter Hall, by his brother on the occasion of his baptism by immersion in our Baptist church we used to go to in Petswood near Bromley on the 20th November 1960, and which is actually his birthday. And Peter was indeed rooted and built up in the Lord. He was indeed strengthened in his faith till the day he died 25 years ago. He was indeed taught so well by our Park Baptist pastor then, and subsequently through the ministries of Ian Barclay here, Ken Gardner, Glyn Ackley, and many others. And yes, he overflowed with thankfulness. This was really good advice, not just for Peter all those years ago or for you and I today, but for this fledgling church in Colossae. Paul was really concerned about them because they were being threatened by false teaching that was beginning to undermine their faith and the truth of Jesus Christ. They were attempting to bind the Christians back to old Jewish rituals and routines. These false teachers, instead of measuring themselves up against the truth of Jesus, were measuring themselves against human standards. In verse 8, the basic principles of this world, or the elemental spiritual forces of this world, originally meant things in a series, like the alphabet, like the A, B, C. And that thought, A, B, C, gives us a framework, actually, to think about this passage and to help us understand it. So A, alive with Christ, verses 13 and 14. While you were dead, God made you alive. He didn't wait till you and I were perfect. He would have waited a long time for that, wouldn't he? He made us alive when we were still dead in our sins, while our ears were deaf to his word and our hearts deadened to his love, powerless to break the chain of sin ourselves. But the power of Christ put life with a capital L into men and women who were dead in their sinful life. Do you remember Jesus having a conversation with Nicodemus about being born again, which leads on to the verse that most of us know by heart? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Paul says here that God has taken the law which condemned us and nailed it to the cross like a big lettering on top. And by doing so, he cancelled the law which sentenced us to death. Other translations say wiped out. And the picture here is of a document, an ancient document like papyrus or vellum, which was written on with ink, but because of the content of the paper or the vellum, the ink wouldn't sink in. It only lay on the surface. So a scribe would sometimes reuse papyrus that had already been written on. He took a sponge and wiped the writing out, just like that, leaving a blank sheet, wiping it out as if it had never been. And when someone is arrested and brought before the magistrate, the charges against him are read out. Whatever was written on our charge sheet has been completely wiped away. Perhaps picture a page with the charges against us, against you, your names on the top, all these different charges against us because of our sin. Jesus has taken the sponge with his blood, wiped them all away. The page is clean. And that's the amazing meaning behind Jesus cancelling the written code that was against us. Even more, Paul says Christ has disarmed the spiritual powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, completely stripped of power. Paul has another picture in mind here in this verse, that of a triumphant Roman general marching his victorious armies through the streets of Rome with the vanquished, wretched leaders and peoples trailing behind, slaves. Jesus is the victorious conqueror, enjoying his cosmic triumph as he reigns in glory with his Father. And he has made us alive with Christ. A. B. Well, B is buried with him in baptism. I know Paulie mentioned at the beginning about this passage with circumcision in it. Well, this is what the Jews practiced on baby boys to set them apart. It's a picture of physical separation of the Jewish boys, the Jewish people, from the rest of the world. But Paul is teaching the Colossians that they have already been truly circumcised, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And this, if you can imagine the early church, they were a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. And the Jews were trying to get the Gentile men, to go through the circumcision procedure. And that Paul is saying that's not necessary, because the circumcision of Christ in cutting away our sinful nature is all that is needed. Believing in what Jesus did for us on the cross enables us to cross over from death to life. And that's why baptism is so special, because it enables us to understand more fully the process of being made alive in Christ. Because as we go down into the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ. We die with him. We identify in his death. And then we rise again from the waters to show that God is raising us with Christ to new life. You can't have it more plainly than Romans 6, which says, "We were therefore buried with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection." So Christ's death on the cross enables us to be buried with him in baptism. A, B. C, continue to live. Well, let's look a bit deeper into this wonderful first verse. Paul tells the Colossian Christians that being made alive with Christ and being buried with him in baptism is just the beginning. There's so much more to come. And by writing this letter, he's encouraging them to become well established in their faith, to develop and gain strength in the Lord. He's basically calling them back to the foundational teaching of Epaphras, who was the one who brought them the news of salvation and under whom they became Christians. So the first starting point is our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then Paul uses the image of a tree and a building to remind them of their firm foundation in what they have already been taught. The Life Application Bible says, "Let your roots go down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong." So we've got two pictures here of plants and buildings. And as plants draw their nourishment from the soil through their roots, so we draw our life-giving strength from Jesus Christ. And building our lives on him reminds us of that parable about the wise man and the foolish man, about the wise man who built his house on a rock, and when the storms came, his house was secure. The more we draw our strength from Christ, the less we will be fooled by those who falsely claim to have life's answers. So we can be rooted, built up, strengthened. Well, it sounds like pretty good advice to me. Paul is basically saying that why should they give any hearing to any rival teaching that said Jesus' death on the cross wasn't enough when they have it all already? Because some of these people were saying that Christ's work on the cross wasn't complete. It needed additional rules and needed rituals to make us safe from our sin. But only Christ has the answer to our problems. There are no add-ons to Christ's work on the cross. It is complete. So Paul encourages the Colossians to grow their roots deep into the truth of Jesus, so by faith they will continue to live in Christ. A, B, C. And we have one more, D, and that is the deity living in us. The reason that Christ is the only answer is because all the fullness of deity lives in Jesus in bodily form. Wow! That means all of God was in Christ's human body. This is one of the most strongest statements about the divine nature anywhere found in the Bible. Jesus is not only equal to God, he is God. He is the visible image of the invisible Father. He is the exact representation of God. He reflects and reveals God the Father to us. And as supreme over all creation, he has all the priority, the power, and the authority. He is Lord of all. So just like those Colossian believers so many years ago, we too must believe that Jesus is God, because it is the central truth of Christianity. And when we have Christ, we have all the fullness of God living in us. We have everything we need for salvation and right living. Deep down, I'm sure most people are searching for something to give their lives a boost. We sometimes talk about having a God-shaped hole in our lives, which people try to fill with other things or with power or people or goods or excitement or holidays. But Jesus fills that God-shaped hole because it is reserved for him. And when we are united with him, we are united with him in his divinity, his deity, the fullness of God. Verse 10 says, "You have been brought to fullness." We're no longer weak. We are empowered by the Spirit of God living within. Other versions say, "You also are complete through your union with Christ." We have the power of Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. We do not need anything else. We do not need anyone else to say what Christ did on the cross is not sufficient, because it is. It is complete. And that's a wonderful verse to remember when we feel incomplete or empty or worthless. Christians don't need anything in addition to what Christ has provided in order for us to be saved. His work on the cross is complete, and he makes each one of us complete. So having Jesus in our lives means the empty hole is filled. The full power and presence and peace of God take up residence in our hearts and minds. We are new creations, equipped for life and satisfied in God. So as Paul asserts, we have the deity living in us. A, B, C, D. Do you remember that far back, learning your ABCs at school when you first started school as a little child? They were the building blocks of all that you've learnt since. You built your life on those ABCs. We've just seen our grandchildren's school, end of school year reports. And it's lovely to know they're all achieving beyond their age group in terms of effort and above their age group in many different topics. But they all started just like us at the very beginning, learning their A, B, C, D, E, F, G, etc. Just like us. So I wonder if we had an end of term report, what it would Jesus would say on us. I can see some of you raising your eyebrows and smiling. I pray that Jesus would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So may we all be achieving above and beyond because Christ lives in us. So the ABC of the Christian life is not difficult. It's really quite simple. A is God making us alive in Christ. B is being buried with him in baptism. C is continuing to live in Christ. And D is for the fullness of the deity living in us. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Hallelujah. Amen.